This is Making Stitches, and this time clinical psychologist Dr. Mia Hobbs chats about the therapeutic qualities of knitting.
Knitting has helped me to get better at tolerating mistakes, and because I just make them all the time in knitting, and it is a very like safe place to practice because you can just rip it out again if you want to, and to notice like, oh, how does that make me feel? And what am I going to do about it? And I guess there's no right or wrong way to respond to mistakes in your knitting. It's just the way that you can live with it the best. But I guess one thing we do generally do as knitters is assume that mistakes will happen and accept that you know, that we're going to have to find a way through that. And I think that's quite helpful to take into the rest of your life, to be a little bit more compassionate and accepting of the fact that mistakes will happen regardless.
Hello, I'm Lindsay, a lifelong crafter, a crochet designer and journalist, and I'm so glad you've joined me today for this episode of Making Stitches. Like many other people, I've found that life doesn't always work out how we might have planned, and at very tricky times, crafts of some form or another have helped me navigate my troubles. Having something to focus on to take my mind off bigger worries, to lose myself in the steady rhythm of blanket rows or focusing in on the complexities of a new pattern, have worked for me as a diversion. Of course, there are times when it doesn't work, but on the whole, I would say that crochet and making this podcast has been what's got me through the last few years, along with some wonderful friends and family, of course, too. With that in mind, I was searching for some podcast inspiration and came across the Why I Knit podcast, hosted by clinical psychologist Dr. Mia Hobbs. In it, she speaks to knitters and other crafters about how their crafts have got them through difficult times. It's a truly inspiring listen. So after listening to a few episodes, I asked Mia if she'd like to come on to Making Stitches to talk about her work, and thankfully she said yes. I started our chat by asking Mia all about when knitting first came into her life.
So my mum was a knitter when I was younger. She doesn't do it very much anymore, but I remember like watching her knit when I was, you know, probably quite small, maybe like 5 or 6, and wanting to have a go. And I had some like Donald Duck knitting needles and made a very, very tight, very holy blanket for a mouse. And I remember watching my mum and thinking, well, she's just clearly clicking the needles together and there's some magic happening. And why is that not happening when I have a go? So I did a little bit then, but didn't carry it on really. I tried lots of different kind of crafty things over the years. But then when I started my doctorate in clinical psychology, my mum randomly had met a woman whose daughter had done the same course as me. And this daughter had learnt to bricklay and had built a brick wall in her garden because she had this really strong need to do something completely unrelated to psychology while she was doing this very intense kind of training course. So my mum was like, so I think, and she was in a kind of knitting phase again at that point, my mum. So she said, I think you need to learn to knit. And I was like, okay, fine. And like I did it, we were sitting watching TV just to kind of keep her happy. And then, you know, she said, you could make one of these shawls. And I said, really, could I? And she said, yep, you definitely could. And I think my hands remembered how to knit, really, even from my tiny little mouse blanket. And so we did a bit of knitting that evening. And she said, look, you can do a knit stitch, you can do a purl stitch. And then the next day, when I was heading back to London, we went to John Lewis and she gave me, you know, we bought yarn for a shawl that was very simple, kind of garter stitch triangular shawl that starts out with 5 stitches and then grows gradually. And I took that back and I was studying for my first year exams. And I think it was there and I did some. And I think it was really helpful. I was thinking about this yesterday, actually, I was writing something and that it started with really few stitches. Because I think at the beginning, when you start knitting, you need to kind of make progress quite quickly to give you a sense of achievement. Whereas now I can start knitting a sweater and I don't care that it takes me 6 months. Like I don't need to finish stuff really. I like it. And today I'm wearing a jumper I've just finished. And I did look in all the car windows at my new jumper on my way to Sainsbury's earlier. But I don't need that kind of hit because I do the knitting for the process more than the end result. But I think at the beginning it was perfect that I could finish a row really quickly. And I was revising. And I think, you know, revision, you can't see. Like, you can't get to the end. And I think it was really helpful that I could have a break and do a few rows of knitting. And, you know, it was a very different way of seeing progress. So I felt like I was achieving something. And I think that was why it stuck, really. I had a couple of friends on my course who actually also randomly had started knitting. And I think some of them, maybe I encouraged into it. Yeah, but I just kind of stuck with it since then. And I spent a long time not knitting garments. And then I think it kind of escalated up a gear again when I started knitting garments about maybe, I don't know, 6 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah. So that was my entry into knitting.
Fabulous. And you actually share a picture on a blog post you'd written on your website of your first shawl that you'd made, and it's very impressive, you know, because certainly from my experience, I dabbled with knitting so many times from being a young child and then being a student myself at university and whatnot, and the consistency in your stitches looks quite remarkable, considering it was a project that you were picking up and putting down multiple times in between each kind of revision break. It looks great.
I think that was luck more than anything.
So you then, once you'd finished, obviously you were successful in your revision and your knitting came along with you, and then you ended up being a clinical psychologist. So how would you say your knitting helped you in addition to getting through your revision, and what are the things that it gave to you along the way?
I think it took me a long time to realise all of the things it gave me, actually, like an embarrassingly long time to realise. I think I was always somebody, even before I started knitting, that needed to do something with my hands. Like, I was, you know, had phases as a teenager. I was making things out of like polymer clay, and I'd done a bit of cross stitch, and even in my undergraduate degree was, you know, I was always someone who started to revise early and did a little bit because I couldn't sit and concentrate for 7 hours and cram. That was what all the cool people did. I just didn't work for me. And the night before exams, I would always be like in my room and my brain would have hit capacity and I'd be doing some cross stitch instead. And I felt like I had to hide away because other people would think I was completely mad or annoying for not revising the night before an exam. So I think I always needed that. And I think I didn't love cross stitch as much because I felt like it didn't give me anything that I really could do anything with. I didn't know what to do with the end product. So I think over the years, it has given me like a different way of like stimulating my brain, which gives the part of my brain that I overuse, like problem solving, communicating, like talking, kind of for therapy and for a lot of, you know, like business stuff. It's very like thinking heavy. It gives that part of my brain a break and allows, you know, the verbal part of my brain to rest while I do something with my hands. And I feel like I've always needed that. But I now use it much more intentionally. So I think throughout my career, it's been really helpful to have, you know, the thing lots of people say about knitting is it gives you a real kind of sense of achievement, a very visible, tangible result. That's not something you get from therapy. Sadly, there often isn't a very linear progress in helping people to feel better from psychological distress. But with a knitting pattern, there is a clear kind of recipe that if you follow that, it leads to a very predictable thing at the end. And you can see it and you can touch it and you can take a picture of it. And I think that has been helpful for me. But I think the main thing is doing something with my hands that is soothing. I'm also not great at sitting still and doing nothing, like, or watching TV. So I think having something to do at the same time has been helpful for me too. Yeah. But I, you know, I could talk at length about the ways it's been helpful and do.
And how has knitting crossed over into your work? Because I know that
that is a more recent thing. Mm. So I left the NHS in 2017, and I felt like at that point I was starting to think more about the mental health benefits of knitting and just how many people were talking about how it was helpful. And you know, you'd see like pins you can buy as knitters, like that would enamel pins that says I knit because punching people is frowned upon, and all of those things that kind of allude to there's something calming about it. Well, that's what I read into it anyway, and started to think about it more and more. And then actually I had a colleague who had twins at work, and lots of people said to me, oh, will you help me knit a cardigan for the babies? Or, and I was thinking, actually, the last thing these poor babies need is like 15 unfinished cardigans by people who don't normally knit. So what we, I got some yarn and we all knitted squares, and I crocheted them all together into two blankets for these babies. And lots of people kind of joined in who weren't necessarily thinking about it. And I taught people to knit. And actually there was a real, really changed the team morale. So then I think I talked more to like my colleagues about the mental health benefits of knitting. And I still kind of didn't feel massively confident about using it in my therapy work, I think, because there, while there was a little bit of research out there, it's not a massively researched area. And I felt like people might laugh or think I was weird or charging them for, you know, a nonsense therapy. So I think it took a while before I, yeah, got more confident. And now I do bring it into my therapy work sometimes. So I will always talk to people about the kind of therapeutic benefits of doing something creative. So most of the, so I mainly work with children and young people. Most of the people I work with will not be interested in knitting, which is fine. So I tell them a bit of a story about why I find knitting is helpful and why there's evidence that knitting can be beneficial for your mental health. And then we think about, is there something that they have done in the past, maybe as younger children, or something that they do that maybe we could use a bit more intentionally that might have some similar benefits. So some of the things other people have done is like, for example, cake decorating, baking, cooking, some of the things that give you a similar, like it produces a product. You get kind of social feedback. Usually people say nice things if you've made them dinner. Or, you know, it's very tangible. You can take a picture and send it to your grandma in the same way you could about knitting. Sometimes it's been Lego, jigsaw puzzles. Somebody was doing circuit boards, stuff that I don't understand. But it was giving them a very similar feeling, as in it was something they were doing with their hands. It was for the purpose of being creative without really having a need to do it, which I think is important, that it's not part of their work or their schoolwork or their job. It's a very low stakes thing. So you could try something out and it could go wrong and that would be fine. Which I think is another benefit of knitting, really. It's a kind of safe place to make mistakes. So that's the way I brought it into my therapy work. And the other way is by starting the podcast, where I'm kind of preaching to the choir, really. So I have interviewed knitters about how knitting is beneficial to their mental health. And I think I take it in the sense of mental health is something we all have that we have to look after in the same way that we have physical health, that we might, I don't know, go to the gym or go swimming or something. And I think it's rare to find a knitter who doesn't think that there's something beneficial, that some way in which knitting has benefited their mental health. So I've had, yeah, a really great response to the podcast and, yeah, lots of people being very generous and sharing their stories with me. Yeah, so that those are some of the ways I've been using bringing together psychology and knitting.
I mean, touching on your podcast, certainly I listened to a very interesting interview and it was, I can't remember the name of your guest, but it was somebody who was talking about the importance of making mistakes and how you cope with them within your knitting, whether you absolutely have to rip it back and go back to the beginning, or whether you just acknowledge, I've made a mistake, but you know, I'm just going to carry on going because it's not the end of the world. And then how that can then translate into your life in how you cope with ups and downs as you come across them. And it's very interesting to see the correlation between what you're doing with your hands and how that then impacts on how you cope with life.
Yeah. And I definitely think knitting has helped me to get better at tolerating mistakes. And because I just make them all the time in knitting, and it is a very like safe place to practice because you can just rip it out again if you want to. And to notice like, oh, how does that make me feel? And what am I going to do about it? And I guess there's no right or wrong way to respond to mistakes in your knitting. It's just the way that you can live with it the best. But I guess one thing we do generally do as knitters is assume that mistakes will happen and accept that you know, that we're going to have to find a way through that. And I think that's quite helpful to take into the rest of your life, to be a little bit more compassionate and accepting of the fact that mistakes will happen regardless, and that, you know, to practice with different, you know, we can experiment in knitting, can't we, with different ways of managing the mistake and see what works best for us. So I definitely think that's one of the ways in which knitting has, you know, benefited the rest of my life, practicing making mistakes.
Absolutely. And also, you know, the fact that it isn't the end of the world. Whereas, yeah, you know, certainly when you're first starting out, as you said, when you first started with that shawl, it was just a small amount of stitches. It wasn't just a huge mountain to climb. But the fact that, you know, there are ways of solving problems and finding, navigating your way around an issue that can translate into your real life.
Yeah, and I'm aware that that's obviously easier as someone who's been knitting almost every day for like 15 years. I, through trial and error, probably encountered most of the mistakes I can possibly make before. And even though the internet now exists, which it didn't when I started, you've got to know what you've done wrong in order to be able to search up the solution on YouTube. But yeah, but it's certainly, I think a lot of the people I've interviewed have talked about their kind of journey with tolerating mistakes kind of evolving over time. And I actually have run retreats for health professionals using knitting. And it's, I think, a really common thing, you know, in healthcare, mistakes can be really problematic. And, you know, we all want healthcare workers to be very mindful of not making mistakes and to notice when they do. And, you know, that often results in health professionals giving themselves a really hard time if they make mistakes, but that knitting can give them this different land. It's like a door to a different universe in which they can make mistakes. Actually, they could try something out, and it's a low stakes place to practice being a person who could just leave a mistake and not go back and fix it and see what that feels like. So I think that's quite freeing to have that opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, if you look back at your back catalogue of podcast episodes of your Why I Knit podcast, what would you say is your most inspiring story that you've come across? Because there are, I know there are so many. That's quite a tricky question to ask you. I apologise.
Really tricky question. Oh, that's cruel. I think there's so many really inspiring stories. And I think the thing I love about it and why I keep doing it is that every new episode that somebody will say something, like people have just these brilliant phrases for describing how they feel about knitting. So I don't know, one of the things that sticks in my mind is Lisa Silver, who's a yarn dyer. I interviewed her about her experience of having a diagnosis of ADHD and how she feels knitting relates to that. And one of the things she's described knitting was like a happy dance with my hands, and I loved that kind of turn of phrase. I think probably the interview that stands out the most is Ellen, who is 16 and contacted me to suggest maybe that she could be a guest for the podcast, because as a young person, she doesn't know many other people who were knitting and felt like knitting had been really instrumental in helping her get through various mental health challenges and continue to show up at school and do her GCSEs, which I thought was amazing. And I would have, as a teenager, loved to have heard from somebody like her, to feel like I wasn't the only teenager who was in their room doing cross stitch or knitting or something creative that other people thought was a bit weird. She was so eloquent and insightful about the ways in which she was very deliberately using knitting and crochet to benefit her mental health, and that, you know, on days she couldn't knit, she would maybe get out her stash and look at the potential of the yarn, even if she felt like she couldn't knit any stitches. So I thought that was really inspiring, that she seemed to have a lot of things figured out in that sense and really be very deliberately using knitting and crochet to benefit her mental health.
That's a very mature way of looking at it for a 16-year-old. I think I was probably almost 40 before I realised I could do such a thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I was a psychologist, and I was just doing these things, you know, doing that, I was always the person who was like doing cross stitch in my bedroom the night before an exam. I didn't really think about why, or that that was a deliberate strategy to benefit my, you know, pre-exam anxiety, really. That's what I was doing. And I didn't really put labels on it until later, I suppose, or start using it deliberately. I think the first time I did that was when I left the NHS, really, which was probably a period of kind of grief for me. Like, it wasn't my career plan at all, but through various circumstances, it ended up being the kind of only choice at that point. And then I decided I needed a big knitting project to take me through that transition. And that was the first time I deliberately kind of spent money on yarn and chose the colours. And it was deliberately for the purpose of being the project that was going to take me through that transition. And I think allowed me to give myself the opportunity to take some time to do the process of the change, like, because transitions are hard, and to be more patient with myself and not expect to have being in private practice all sorted within the first 2 weeks, because that was clearly not going to happen. That was, that takes some time. So that was, I think, when I first started using it really deliberately.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because certainly I know that my crafts, predominantly crochet, have really helped me during difficult times. And it's so nice to have something that's away from all the troubles that you're facing that you can focus on in a positive way. And, you know, your colour choice or the choice of stitch or whatever it is you're making can just be a little pinprick of light in a very dark time. And it can help guide you through, can't it?
And I think, you know, crafts like knitting and crochet, they are very versatile, really, in the sense of, you know, you could be feeling completely overwhelmed and overworked and frazzled and pick up a project that's really easy, going round and round in circles, just knitting, stockinette. And that might be exactly what you need. It basically takes up zero bandwidth because you've got none left. Mm-hmm. Or you could have situations where you think, I'm really stressing out about this work issue or all of these bazillion things I've got going on in my brain. I actually need a really complicated project to take my mind away. I cannot think about those things. It is impossible. And all I can do is think about this colour work that's using six colours all at once. And I think, you know, I always now am very mindful about having projects in each of those camps so that I've got something very easy that I could knit while I'm, I don't know, listening to the kids read or on a bus somewhere, or, you know, when I've only got 2 minutes, or if I'm completely frazzled, or I've got something really complicated that I can kind of get stuck into when I want to switch my brain off of everything else.
It's so useful and so versatile, it really is. Mm. You've mentioned about the fact that you've spoken to young people about the various different things that people can do with their hands that can, you know, take the focus away from what's going on in their mind. Do you actually teach knitting to any of the people that you
sometimes patients? So in the not that common but lovely event that I've got somebody who might be a customer for knitting, I definitely have. So sometimes it's been really helpful as kind of an engagement tool. So sometimes, you know, therapy is a weird thing. Sitting across from somebody else who's a complete stranger and talking to them about all of the really painful and personal things that you don't really want to talk about at all, it's a weird thing. So obviously I do it all the time, but it is unusual and uncomfortable for some people. And sometimes young people, or any people, can struggle with that really intense kind of social interaction. So sometimes it has been really helpful as an engagement tool, that rather than let's sit here and have a really difficult conversation about all the hard stuff in your life, it's been helpful to kind of say, well, how about we sit next to each other and I'll teach you how to do this, you know, knitting thing. And then we can sit next to each other rather than, you know, sitting opposite each other and making eye contact all the time, and we can look at our knitting, and that probably is helpful. And then we can have a conversation about some of the tricky things, but we can intersperse it with also talking about the knitting, which can kind of help sometimes people to be able to kind of moderate how much talking about difficult things we do, so that we keep the conversation in a zone that's kind of useful enough but comfortable enough for them to tolerate. So that has been really super helpful with some people that I've worked with. Other times I've used it as something for somebody to kind of go away and have something to kind of hold on to and bring back, and, you know, something to do. So there is a study about that it can be helpful for reducing rumination. So rumination is the word we use for like anxious thoughts that go round and round in circles and don't really lead us to solving a problem. They just go round and round repetitively. And that there's an idea that knitting can take our minds away from those circles of unhelpful thoughts and give us a bit of a break. So sometimes I have started somebody off with some knitting and then they've gone away and done some in between sessions. But yeah, it's been much more helpful in sessions than I'd expected. The other times I might use it is sometimes I see people who might struggle with sitting still. So they might have a diagnosis of ADHD, or they might, you know, just find it difficult to sit still without doing something. And then something like knitting, or sometimes, you know, because I work with younger people, we do things like making pom-poms. So then your hands are busy, but it's not really taxing on the brain. Because I think the challenge with knitting is, you know, you and I who have been doing these things for a long time have probably forgotten that actually at the beginning, it can be quite frustrating. And if you're seeing somebody who's already struggling with things in their life, they might not have the kind of ability to try and do something that's a bit challenging and to persist with that when it goes wrong and you get a hole in it, because that is inevitable when you're first starting. It's not going to be super easy from the get-go for most people. So then we might, you know, do something else like making pom-poms, because most people, you know, can do that pretty easily within the first session and take something away, you know, that could be a little kind of grounding thing that they can hold in their hand, in their pocket, or they might want to make something for somebody else in their life. So yeah, so that's some of the ways I use it in my therapy room.
I guess, I mean, we heard about how gardening was prescribed on the NHS. And, yeah. You know, this is, I guess, just another kind of string to the bow for practitioners to help people engage and cope with what they're going through. Now, I'm going to steal an idea from you, if that's all right. And that's that at the end of your episodes, you always ask your guests what their craft has given them. And I'm going to turn the question on you, if that's all right, and ask you, what's the greatest gift that knitting has given to you?
It's a really cruel question when it's turned back on me. I think if I had to really narrow it down, it would probably be a quick way of accessing kind of feeling calmer. Probably, if I had to really distill it down to just one thing. Obviously, I'd want to kind of rabbit on about all of the other things too, but I think, you know, if I was on a desert island with one ball of yarn and it wasn't enough to make anything useful, I didn't need it to wear necessarily, I would for sure still knit, I'd unravel it and I'd re-knit. So the process of knitting is the thing that gives me the most benefit, I think, that I do think it automatically makes me feel calmer. I think like many other knitters that I've interviewed, I don't feel like I'm necessarily great at standard kind of mindfulness or meditation, but I think knitting is something I've done when I've felt relaxed, and it definitely helps me to feel relaxed. I think it also helps me to keep kind of present and focused. You know, for example, if I'm doing a training on Zoom, I'm not great at sitting still and listening for, you know, sometimes that could be like a whole day, like 8 hours, and there'll be a bit of interaction, but it's a lot of sitting and listening. And if I can knit at the same time, I pay much better attention. But I think the number one thing would be, like I say, it's a bit like having a kind of spa in your handbag that you can bring with you in your handbag, that you can always, you know, I don't worry if I have to wait an extra half an hour at the dentist or, you know, yes. So I think that would be the top thing.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I have to concur. There's nothing worse than being stuck in a waiting room and not having a project with you that you can fill your time with while you're waiting.
Yeah, I had some long waits in a hospital clinic I went to a few years ago, and everybody there, like, some really long waits. There were like 3 hours every time I went there, and all of the people there were like running. You could see as their phone batteries died one by one, and there were people there with their children with them. And I resolved, like, the next time I come back, I'm bringing spare knitting needles and yarn for all of these people, because I felt, you know, I've knitted like inches of a sleeve. And, you know, I had something to show for that time I was sitting on this uncomfortable hospital chair. But I felt bad for all the people who had nothing to do.
Oh dear. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You, at least you can have something productive to show for the time that you've spent while you've been waiting. Oh, well, Mia, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really interesting to hear about the impact knitting has had on your work and how it's helped you in your life as well. It's been a real joy to speak to you. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
My thanks again to Dr. Mia Hobbs for taking the time to speak to me for Making Stitches. If you want to find out more about Mia and her work, you can find her links in the show notes for this episode, and you can find the Why I Knit podcast in all the usual podcast places. My thanks go to you too for making it to the end of this episode. I really do hope you've enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed making it. Making Stitches really is a labour of love. If you'd like to support the podcast, perhaps you could buy me a coffee. There's a link to that in the show notes for this episode, along with a link to the Making Stitches shop, where you can find podcast merchandise, along with some of my own crochet patterns, including my newest release, out today, for Prunella the Pumpkin, an amigurumi pumpkin doll, perfect for this time of year. That's all for this time. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time with another inspiring creative chat. Until then, do look after yourself and enjoy your crafting.